What's up, guys? Welcome back to Strength 101, the podcast where we break down fitness and nutrition into its simplest form so that you can get the results that you want. It's me. It's Nick. I'm back. And today we're going to talk all about abs because those are the elusive. That's what everybody wants. Everybody wants those damn abs. So I'm going to give you your format for how the hell you get them, how you get them fast. And maybe some misunderstandings about the abdominal muscles and about how to get them. But before we do that, I do want to give a quick shout out to a couple of our members. We are doing on Tuesday and Thursday this week, we did a one rep max squat. Now, we only have kettlebells here at the gym. This is our first rendition of the gym. We only have kettlebells. So everything that I say about these weights is going to be, think of a double kettlebell. So you got a kettlebell in each hand, sitting that on your chest and then squatting with it. We did a one rep max test. And Tim R, who I don't know, Stet, what do you think? What, I mean, how much is, you don't run into Tim very often, but Tim can't weigh more than what, 180?
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe. So 180 tops. And this guy not only just got the double 106s up to his chest, but then he 1RM squatted them. I've never done that. I can tell you that as sitting here at 225 pounds, I have never done that. I don't know how the hell he did it. I wish I had video evidence that he did it. But either way, it's insanely impressive. And knowing Tim, I know he got a nice deep squat in it. That's freaking impressive. That is strong as hell. Congratulations to you, Tim. I'm looking at our leaderboard for today. As we're recording this is a Thursday. I'm looking at our 50 rep test, which is a squat test, where we challenge our members to, in 5 minutes, do 50 repetitions of double kettlebell front rack squat, and they're going to try to do as heavy of a weight as possible. And of course, as always, as fast as possible as well. And what I'm looking at are some insane numbers. Brandy P has the lead right now. She did double 40s, so 80 pounds total on her chest, and she repped out 50 reps in 3 minutes and 16 seconds. When I came in to congratulate her, because I had heard that she did it, she went to go like tell me how it went. All she did was cough, and she's like, all I can do is cough right now, because that's how hard it was on her lungs to do it. That's crazy. It's over a minute faster than anybody else did that weight today, and we still have like four classes this afternoon, so we'll see if somebody emerges victorious on this, but right now, it's looking like it's going to be really hard to beat Brandy's time. Anyways, congrats to Brandy on that. That's just some two extremely strong muscular people that are just getting after it in here. Another thing, I always like to give you guys some amazing music. At least I think it's amazing. And I got to tell you, I found a freaking banger lately. This one I have probably listened to 100 times since I first found it, and I can't stop listening to it. I wake up singing it. It is called Gasoline and Matches by Cameron Whitcomb, which I think that's Cameron Whitcomb. I don't know. I don't really care about the guy. I care about the song. But if you listen, Stet, can you pipe in a little Gasoline and Matches without us getting...
Yeah, we're good. Let's do
okay.
it.
Okay, right here.
And I blame it all on what I thought was magic. Through rose-colored glasses, anything I can, I throw it away. But all that remains are the memories we made.
Beautiful.
God, aren't you freaking psyched out of your mind after hearing that? God, you got to go and listen to the full version. It'll be stuck in your head all week. Anyways, what you are really here for is the fitness advice, not my musical talents and my musical searching. So let's go ahead and talk about it. Abs, guys. Abs, 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 abs. First off, Stet, can you do a quick Google or ChatGPT search? We were just talking earlier about how ChatGPT should be kind of the thing that's used by everybody, not Google anymore. I bet Google's sad about that. What is that, Gemini that they have?
Google Gemini?
Is Google yes. Gemini? Okay. Well, ChatGPT is just going to take it over. So not you know, even if you have Google, you're not impervious to the rise in technology. Anyways,
nope,
what time. Percentage of men and what percentage of women have visible abs? And we'll just kind of, it's a loose term, visible abs. What does that even mean? I'm not really sure, but what you got?
Let's see. One article notes that only about 8 to 10% of American men reportedly have visible abs.
All right.
And then for women... it is more likely in the 14 to 16% range.
So they're saying that men or women might have more visible abs than men?
That's what I'm seeing right now.
That's interesting. I'm going to have to pickle on that one. I feel maybe I just don't. I don't know. I guess so. I guess that's probably true. The reason that I'm stuck on that is because it's usually harder for women to get visible abs because they have to go down to what's a more difficult body fat percentage for them, but also like dudes are walking around with dad bods everywhere. So maybe that's correct. Anyways, today let's talk about what abdominal muscles you need to be training to get that six pack, what you need to be doing nutritionally for it. And really, it breaks down into those two things. What are you going to do in your training to make sure that your abs are visible and they're defined and they're grown well enough? And what are you going to be doing nutritionally to make sure that you can show those abs? Because regardless of how much ab training you do, go look at a professional strongman who weighs in at 400 freaking pounds. It doesn't matter how strong their core is, you cannot see their abs because body fat can cover everything. So if your body fat is high enough, it doesn't matter how many crunches you do. It doesn't matter how many machines you do. You just are never going to be able to see those abs. And so definitely a piece of this is the nutritional element. And I'll do a brief overview on that. But if you really want to hear more about how we lose weight, how we recommend it through our body composition program, how we teach people at Strength Academy how to get shredded, then that's a different podcast. And you want to look back through ours because I know we've done a few on weight loss before. But today, let's talk about the ab muscle. So there are four primary ab muscles that you need to be concerned about. And I think it's extremely helpful to know what they do, what the functions of these are, because it will determine how you train. And probably the most important one, or the one we all give a crap about more than anything else, is the rectus abdominis. And that is your six pack. Okay, so that's these muscles that come in these bread rolls that go right down your front of your stomach. And they are responsible for flexing, okay? Flexion-based exercises, meaning can I draw my ribs to my hips? Even if I'm sitting here and I take a big deep breath, and then I pull my ribs to my hips and I crunch down, that's definitely getting activated. And now if I bend forward, it's even more activated. And so if you do that with me and you take a big deep breath right now, pull your ribs down to your hips, lock them down, and then you bend forward, you can feel them flex. And that's your six-pack muscles. That's your rectus abdominis. And you train those by doing flexion-based exercises, which simply means bending over or sitting up. That's why the sit-up is such a popular exercise for abs. Shocker, I know. Even though the sit-up gets crapped on all the time, I still think it's a phenomenal exercise. So that's your rectus abdominis. Then we have, I'm going to pair these together, your internal and your external obliques. And those are the muscles that assist you in rotating, okay, side to side, and also side bending. So reaching and bending side to side. And those are the muscles that really frame in that six-pack. Sometimes you literally see them as almost like a frame. They're like a nice thick muscle on either side of the six pack that really says like, here it is, here's the six pack. And when people are really shredded in them, you can even get like, you can see some like diagonal striations in the muscles. It just looks really freaking cool. But those internal and external obliques, like I said, they do a lot of twisting and side bending. And so if you're trying to train and develop them to be more visible, you definitely want to do those types of exercises. And then our final one, like I said, internal and external oblique, those are going to be kind of paired together. They both assist each other in this twisting and the side bending. But then you have your transverse abdominis. And your transverse abdominis is the deepest layer of your abs. And it's underneath everything else. And it basically runs like a corset, which if you don't know what a corset is, think about like some Victorian lady getting strapped up. You know, it's always, here's the traditional scene. It's like, I don't want to marry him, father. I want to marry for love. I don't care what you want. Put on your whalebone corset and make your waist look tiny because I want his dowry. And then somebody puts a foot in her back and they pull on the strings and she goes, and she can't really breathe. And that's what a corset is. It really tightens around your midsection. Those poor ladies back in the day, I mean, pain is beauty, right? But that's what this muscle does, is it actually helps draw your waist in. It helps tighten around your spine. It helps to stabilize you. And so your transverse abdominis, or your TA, is going to help you with stability. So even when we're thinking about trying to lock our torso in for squats or for deadlifts, or when we're doing a plank, our TA is getting trained. And that's going to be mostly a static, meaning not moving, stability muscle. And so training your TA, you could train it all day, and it's not going to make your muscles look more profound because one, it's too deep, and two, it's a big old flat muscle that goes all the way around. So any strength there is going to be about stability, not necessarily some show muscles. And so in order to see these muscles, no matter which ones you've been training and which ones are super profound, and it's important to keep in mind that these muscles are also like, there's genetic variance in them. And so if you look at a picture of some dude who has an 8-pack and you wonder why you can't get an 8-pack, well, basically what separates a 6-pack and an 8-pack differently is that there's just fascial lines, and fascia is just like really tough, strong tissue. You want to think of it like, like a twine. You want to think about twine that's separating the muscles. And some people have more of these separations than others. And so some people are prone to having an 8-pack if they get shredded. Some people are not. I don't think anybody actually has only a 4, but they're definitely more prone to a 6-pack. Or you can see genetic differences in the alignment of these abs. Some people have extremely symmetrical abs, exactly what you want to see on a freaking superhero movie or High School Musical or whatever the hell you're into. But some people have what they call zipper abs, and actually like one ab is a little bit higher than the other, and then it goes alternating. That one's a little higher, then that one's a little higher. And you can't do anything about those. And so you just need to train the abs that you have to look as good as you can possibly have them. And if you accept that early on, that you might not have a completely shredded eight pack and you might have a zipper six pack, then you don't get so hard on yourself. But in order to see these muscles, especially if you've never seen them, like you have to bring your body fat percentage down. And we know that the only way to do that is to get into a caloric deficit and give yourself enough time for your body to eat your fat stores and lose weight instead of eating the food that's on the table. Men have a tendency to show visible abs, maybe, and I'm going to say maybe on all this stuff, maybe around 12% body fat. Maybe Stetler can back me up on this. And then women maybe around like 15% body fat. I was nervous to even throw these numbers in here because I don't want people to get too set on percentage. That you look like you got something for me.
Yeah. So this says on the low end, men need 6 to 12%, and then women is 16 to 20.
Okay. So, and this is so interesting because I think that even though the women's body fat percentage is higher, it is, I believe, more difficult for women to get really visible abs. We have more men that have achieved visible abs in the gym than women. And we have 2/3 of our member base is women. And I think that's because their bodies just tend to fight back way more at super low body fat percentages for hormonal health reasons, especially if you're in childbearing age, like your body does not want to go down to super low body fat. And so I wouldn't get stuck on the body fat percentages for a number of reasons. One, fat distribution is different on every single person. And we run these body composition programs where we help people lose weight. Some people carry fat on their triceps primarily. Some people carry it right on the front of their stomach. Some people it's all butt and thighs. It just depends on the person. And you don't get to pick where it comes off of. Now, most people, their body fat is going to get removed from their torso, their toes. Can you imagine everybody had shredded toes? But it's going to get removed from your torso usually last. That's what I've found when I've lost weight. And that's what we see for the most part with body composition. But some people may get a little bit more shredded in their abs before they lose it on their thighs. Whereas another person may lose it all on their thighs and have shredded thighs. And then the abs are just like, they're really holding out, not letting you see them until you get that last bit of body fat off. And so it's really hard to determine what percentage you need to be at. The only thing you can do is trust the process. And the process is, I need to train my abs. I need to get into a caloric deficit. And I just need to keep pushing until I get where I want to go. The one thing that you can do to make abs more visible is you can grow the size of them. And so I want you to think about it this way. Like if, let's just imagine, especially if you're watching this on camera, you have me and you have 12-year-old version of Nick. 12-year-old version of Nick, my arms were much smaller. Now, if we put a bunch of fat on 12-year-old version of Nick and he flexed for you, you wouldn't even be able to tell that he was strong or muscular or anything because his muscles are so small that the body fat just gleams over and smooths out any defined look in the muscles. Whereas if I flex for you right now and I have a fairly profound bicep peak because of all the training that I've done over the last 15 years, that's actually going to be much harder for it to go away. You can imagine that if I flex right now and you're looking at this, even if I gained 20 pounds, maybe even if I gained 30 pounds, I think I could probably gain 50 pounds and you would still be able to see a decent shape on my bicep, just knowing how guys gain weight. And that's huge when it comes to your abs, right? If you want to be able to see your abs, bigger muscles are going to show at a higher percentage body fat than underdeveloped abdominal muscles. So it's still important to train them, even if you can't see them right now. So let's talk about how you actually grow the abdominal muscles. And it's really the same pattern as we grow any other muscle. And I don't know why people treat it differently, but here's what you need to understand. Now, we went over these 4 different types of muscle, and the one you're looking to train the most and the hardest is obviously that rectus abdominis. It's that 6-pack muscle. So we're looking for crunch-based exercises. We're looking for flexion-based exercises. And maybe we want to throw in a little bit of side bending and rotation too, because we want those obliques to frame in that 6-pack. I mean, look at us. We're building the perfect 6-pack right now. And so if you want to grow those muscles, you do it the same way as you do with any other muscle. It's a combination of maximal fatigue on the muscles and can I place heavier loads over time on the muscles? And so we like to split up our ab training at Strength Academy into 2 separate things. We go for fatigue by doing just a ton of reps at everybody's own pace, but going for time. And so the thing that I've traditionally used over the years, ever since I was in college track, I used to do abs every single day after I was done training. And I would say, hey, it's just 8 minutes of your day. And we would do 8 minute abs. And 8 minute abs entailed 16 different exercises, technically 15 different exercises. But we would do a different exercise every 30 seconds and you just go for time. You go for 30 seconds. And honestly, at first, it feels like you can't make it past 3 minutes. It totally sucks. Actually, right now we're doing 3 minute versions of this in the gym and people are complaining like crazy. But if we kept doing them and we built up our tolerance, eventually you can get a very high fatigue limit and that is going to grow the muscles and it's going to make them more defined, more profound, more shapely. And so 8 minute abs would be 30 seconds on like 14 different exercises. That gets you up to the 7 minute mark. And then you do a plank for the last minute. That is going to take care of the fatigue element of growing the muscle. But I think you don't actually get large, profound, kind of next level crazy abs unless you train them with load. That's like any other exercise, right? I'm not going to grow large biceps by doing air curls, okay? By pretending I have weights in my hand. And then even if I pumped this arm until it was so freaking tired that I couldn't lift it, I'm still just not going to get big arms that way. I have to put load on the muscles. So we talked about how the rectus abdominis, very important to do those flexion-based exercises, those bending over exercises, those crunches. I want to load those. Same thing with the twisting. I want to load some twists. So our favorite exercises, if you were going to do this at your gym by yourself, 3 sets of 10, make it super simple. 3 sets of 10, on exercises like decline sit-ups. We love a decline sit-up, intentionally rolling ourselves on the way down and then rolling back up and pushing the weight into the air. I also am a huge fan of hanging knee raises because I think most people's legs are heavy enough that it counts as loaded movement. And there's a lot of things you can do to ramp up the intensity of that, right? You can do hanging knee raises, but then you can also do hanging leg raises. And all of a sudden you change the leverage on the legs. You change the load. You just made it harder on your abs to do that. Then you can take it all the way to toes to bar. And especially if you're doing them strict and you're not doing CrossFit kipping style, you're actually going to challenge your abs to go through a full range of motion with a decent amount of load on you. And you're going to develop a really insane looking six pack that way. The other thing we love is Russian twists with a kettlebell or with a dumbbell or whatever, loading up nice and heavy, getting a full stretch, a full squeeze and going really slow. And you'd be shocked how heavy you can get on your Russian twists if you actually try. We love doing some side bends side to side. You know, one thing that's a pet peeve of mine is don't put the same weight in each hand and then go side to side because you're just balanced now. You might feel a little bit of a burn, but I feel like you gotta fight against something. So one heavy weight in one hand and you're getting a stretch so you can open up that lower back and then you're crunching down and you're squeezing down. So give that a shot and that's going to help those obliques as well. We absolutely love cable crunches here. It's something we didn't do for a long time, but just having a cable, putting the strap behind your head and crunching yourself down, whether that's on a machine that you're doing that at your gym or you're just doing it on one of the cable machines at the gym or here at Strength Academy, that one always makes me feel like I certainly developed my six-pack muscles when I do that. So keeping in mind, fatigue and load. Those are your two things. If you're at home catching a workout, then maybe you're going fatigue because you don't have all the fancy equipment to do loaded abs. But if you've got all the equipment, you should definitely do a ton of loaded abs because I think people don't do them enough. And that's the secret to growth. I have these large ab muscles and I only have them because I didn't know these concepts early on. I just love training my abs and I used to do a combination of heavy and fatigue and it worked. Here's the thing. This is the kicker and this is kind of the end to it. Unfortunately, planks are not going to grow your abs. I'm sorry. I know everybody loves their planks and they love being great at them. And frankly, there's a lot of people out there that can do 10 or even 15 minutes of planks that do not have visible abs. They do not have strong abs. And that's totally fine. It's a nice performance metric that's probably going to give you some indication of spinal stability and safety, but it's not going to grow your abs. Like I said, it's static. And just like if I just held weight in a 90 degree position on a bicep curl, I'm not going to grow big biceps. And it's body weight, so it's not loaded heavy enough for me to actually like grow the muscle. And it's about stability. That TA muscle is not made to grow large, and it's made to just stabilize over long periods of time. So it doesn't mean don't do planks, but it does mean, hey, dose the planks in and know that they're a performance enhancer and they'll help you on your squats and deadlifts, but they're probably not going to be targeted enough to actually grow your abs. So it's as simple as that, guys. It's the training portion and it's the nutrition portion. And if you're going to train your abs, you want to do flexion-based exercises. You want to do twisting and bending-based exercises. You want to do them to fatigue. You want to do them with a bunch of load. That's it on the training side. Just keep doing that consistently and you will grow insanely muscular abs. Then you got to show them to the world or to yourself or to your wife or husband or whatever. Show them to whoever you want. But in order to see them, you have to pull down your body fat. And the only way we pull down body fat is, you guys know it, it's I have to eat less than I burn on any given day so my body can start eating my body fat stores, reducing that body fat and giving way to this insane six pack that I just spent months building in the gym. Guys, if you guys have any other question about abs or how to get them, please reach out to us. We would love to get a DM. We would love to get a comment on one of the videos. Let us know how we can explain these concepts better. My name is Nick, and you can find me at Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Nick, N-I-C-K, double underscore Byom, B-Y-O-M. You can find all of our Strength 101 information, including our zany hours of trailer talk, at Strength 101. So on Instagram, at Strength 101. YouTube, at Strength 101. TikTok, at Strength 101. This was Strength 101. Peace out.